quick things. They mentioned the serve buffet that's next Sunday. There's ways that you can serve. All these people up here, other than Jeremy, all these people up here, they volunteer and they serve. There's people in the back that serve. We need people to serve in children's ministry. We need people to take part in handbells. We need people to take part in widows ministry and other places around. And you'll be able to embrace some of those opportunities next Sunday, right before this service in our old foyer. That's the new foyer. That's the old foyer, I guess. I don't know. And then finally, men's retreat. There's a QR code in here. You need to sign up. You do not want to miss it. Dr. Stephen Jones is teaching. You want to be there. Burn a vacation day. Work a little few hours extra so you can take that time off. You're not going to regret it, but you want to be there. It is great to have the Colemans here. I am disappointed that I found out last night that the donut shop that we get to over there on Lesvos closed down. Like, I could land at the airport right now and we could get a van. I could get you there, I could get you to the gelato place and their ministry center. Let's keep that straight. But I'm disturbed about the closing of the donut shop. If you spend some time with the Colemans, you'll learn some things about Greek culture and life on the island. I don't know if you guys know this, but life doesn't start very early in the morning over there. People kind of drag their feet. They start a little later in the day after the sun is already up because dawn is tough on Greece. Some of y'all are, yeah. Anyway, hey, we're going to begin our time this morning in Matthew chapter 9. And as you're turning to Matthew chapter 9 in the New Testament of your Bible, or maybe scrolling to it on your phone, I want to give us some guidelines, some lines on our road this morning, some perspective, if you will. We believe as a church that the autographs or the original, exactly what Paul wrote, exactly the first writing, we believe that to be without error. Now, through time and history, those autographs or original writings are no longer with us. But there's multiple copies and fragments of copies, and the closer a copy is to what the original writing, when that took place, the more copies that are proliferated out in society generally are used as proofs for how accurate or how true what we have is. And probably 100 times over, the next historical or ancient writing you could think of, we have the proofs of Scripture being accurate even today. What you hold in your hand translated to English, I would say it's probably 99.99% of what the original's writings were, and the differences are like punctuation. And I mean, I don't even punctuate very well, so we can believe this word to be true. And so we're gonna lean into that today as we read a couple of things. We need to realize also that this Bible, these words written a couple of thousand years ago were written, as the Coleman said, to somebody in a very Eastern culture, not our mindset, but a mindset of over there and back in that day and time. And so we need to realize that we tend to read this through a Western culture, through our eyes, our words, etc. And sometimes we lose a little bit of the texture and the feel of what it really is. We need to understand that our job is to read this with a mindset of what did it mean to who it was written to, when it was written, and then how do we apply that to us today? And that's what we're going to do this morning. You see, a few years ago, I stood in this pulpit right here, and I'd shared a sermon with you guys that was based on the shortest verse in the Bible. Anybody know what that verse is? Jesus wept, John 11, 35. So everybody repeat after me, John 11, 35. Jesus wept. There, you've just learned a memory verse. It's easier than the one Steve gave you, so you've got it now. It's locked in. When I did that verse, I spent, I don't know, 20 or 30 minutes on that sermon based on those two words and the context that surrounded them. That's important. I struggled with what to preach today and the next couple of Sundays. And I had some ideas. I got to a place where I thought, man, I'm going to do Philippians. And then we had the breakfast a couple weeks ago, and the men's Bible study was like, yeah, we're going to do Philippians. And I'm like, I'm not going to do Philippians because they're going to do it. I didn't want to double up on that. There would be nothing wrong with that. But and then I had an opportunity to teach our fifth and sixth graders at VBS and taught them one of the scriptures that I'm going to refer to this morning. And as I remembered that, I was led to, when I was reading another scripture that we're going to start with today in Matthew 9, and it was like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh, there's my sermon. And within a short amount of time, about 2 weeks ago, all three sermons came together. And so act surprised when I tell you that today's sermon is also based on two words. They're two words that we hear in all four of the Gospels. They're two words that we use pretty easily. They roll off pretty easily without much thought. And yet we're going to see in reality there's a lot behind these two words. The simple focus of today's sermon is these two words, follow me. And we see that a couple of places in Scripture. Like I said, we see it in all four of the Gospels. And so certainly you've read those words before. You've seen them. They're pretty direct. Follow me. They're pretty simple. They're pretty easy to understand in our language. A child could understand. A good dog can understand them. They're pretty easily spoken. Unless you're me and your ADHD kicks in and you start to wonder, is there more to those two words? Is there something going on here? And so you start digging in and you start looking at things and cross-referencing things and linking up NASA satellites to research, and you find out there is a lot more there. So Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 9. And Jesus went on from there, and he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he got up and he followed him. And then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table, this is at Matthew's house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners were there dining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard this, he said, it is not those who are healthy that need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn, this is what it means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So we see in Matthew 9 that Jesus calls Matthew to follow him. And this is really kind of the only time that Matthew's really sort of specifically mentioned, other than in a list of disciples' names further on in Scripture. Church tradition that was passed down orally for several hundred years tells us that Matthew most likely went on to preach the gospel or the good news about Jesus over in Palestine for about a dozen years after the resurrection, and then went to other lands. Where did he go? We don't know. Again, that's just church tradition. We can't necessarily substantiate that, but we can substantiate what's in this book. And Jesus called him to follow him, and he followed. Now, there's some interesting things with Matthew. So Matthew is a Jewish tax collector or a publican for the Roman government. Because of the fact that he collaborated with the Roman government, who were basically overlords in the Jewish territories and community, other Jews really didn't like tax collectors and they didn't like Matthew. They were despised by their fellow Jews, but nevertheless, we see Matthew respond to Jesus' simple call, follow me. He goes on to throw this banquet for his friends so that they too can meet Jesus. Like I said, this is really kind of the only specific mention of Matthew, but we see this thing happen, this encounter with Jesus that changes Matthew. We know that Matthew wasn't well thought of by his people, but Jesus took notice of him and gave him that call to follow me. Turn back a couple of pages to Matthew chapter 4. It's just a couple pages back. We see another call with these same words. This time it's some different disciples. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. Now Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. and they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I don't know what your Bible says, but mine says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending the nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. There's another account of this that takes place over in Luke chapter 5, and it goes like this. Jesus was teaching near the shore, and he got into one of the boats and pushed out just a little bit so that he could speak to the crowd. And after he was done speaking to the crowd, he looked at the fishermen and he said, hey, go put your nets down in the deep water. And Peter, it was Peter's boat, just like we read here. And Luke tells this, he says, Peter told him, hey, we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so. And they put out in the deep water and they let the nets down. And you know the account. The nets were so full that they had to call the other boat for help. And there were so many fish in the nets that it just about sank both of those boats. You can find that account in Luke 5. And it says this, it says, when they got back to the shore, Peter immediately fell to his feet and said, get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinner. Because he realized who he was with. And then Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, come with me. And it says immediately, they didn't dilly-dally around. They didn't go, hold on, let me get the boat on the trailer and whatever. Like, they went immediately. These guys were doing what life had given them to do. They were fishing or a tax collector. They were not doing the prized thing in life. Maybe you've had plans for your kids and you've thought, man, my kid's gonna be a D1 athlete, or my kid's gonna be a Rhodes Scholar, my kid's gonna be all this great stuff. And then as your kid grows up, you kind of start to realize, my kid is not gonna be a D1 athlete or a D3 athlete or an athlete. My kid's not gonna graduate summa cum laude, my kid's gonna graduate, thank the Lord. Okay, maybe you've experienced that. In this day and time, in this culture, you would hope, as a family, you would hope that when your son got to the age of 13, that the local rabbi, if your kid was really good with studying the scriptures, that the local rabbi would look at your kid and go, hey, follow me. And your kid would, 13 years old, would move out of your house and go live with that rabbi and learn to be just like that rabbi. If that rabbi took his first bite of breakfast with his right hand and your kid was left-handed, your kid started using his right hand. If that rabbi prayed a certain way, the kid would learn to do that. Their goal was to be like the rabbi, to be made like that. And it was a badge of honor if your kid was called out, like you could be rolling down the street like, hey, did you hear the rabbi called my son to follow him? These guys weren't like that. These guys smelled like fish. These guys were despised by their own people for being tax collectors. They were not on the team that got picked first. And yet here comes Jesus. And he says, hey, follow me. All of these people responded to Jesus' call to follow him. And it got me to thinking, is there somebody that got this call and didn't respond? Is there somebody that got this call and said no and didn't follow Jesus? I don't know if you've ever asked yourself that question, but I asked it. And so here's the answer in Matthew chapter 19. And this is going to be the last verse I have you turn to today, Matthew chapter 19. As we read this account, I want you to pay attention to a couple things. How did this conversation go? How did this person respond? Why do we think he responded that way? And then maybe you'll end up at the same place I did, which is, man, do these two words mean something that I think is different than follow me? So check out Matthew 19, beginning in verse 16. And someone came to him and said, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And he, Jesus, said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Then he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, well, you shall not commit murder, and you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not steal, and you shall not bear false witness. You should honor your mother and father. You should love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man replied, and he said, all these things I have kept. Some translations even say, some of these things I have kept from my youth. What am I still lacking? And Jesus says to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, that you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who had much property. And so here we see a guy that was not overlooked by Jesus. He was actually engaged in this conversation, and Jesus gives him these same two words, follow me. Now, the interaction's kind of interesting in the Jewish culture in that day. What should I do to attain eternal life, the next life? That's a very Jewish question. Which commandments should I keep? There was a lot of them, but are some more important than others? Look, what do I have to do that's good enough to be good enough? And Jesus tells him, well, there's only one who's good. In other words, only God is good. And then he names off some commandments, and then he says this because he perceives this young man's situation. And he says this, he says, hey, go give up all your stuff and follow me. And it wasn't necessarily a call to give up all your stuff, but it was a call to say, are you willing to make the sacrifice that you might have to make? Are you willing to give up yourself and your life to live the life that I have for you, to live the plan that I have for you? And so we see that this young man, it says, he walked away grieving because he had much property. He was in love with his stuff. So again, follow me. What's the meaning behind these words? Well, this is the fun part, and it's appropriate that the Colemans are here, because in the Greek language that this would have originally been written in, the words follow me are in the Greek, and you have to use your tongue a little bit. Akoutheo. Akoutheo is the Greek word. And here's the definition of it according to Strong's G109. It says this, it's a particle of union, it's a part of speech. And it says this, properly to be in the same way with, that is to accompany, specifically as a disciple to follow or to reach. And so when we see Jesus use the words follow me in scripture, we think follow me, and those words just come off real easily, but this akoutheo, this accompany me, is much deeper than that, okay? There's a big difference between those two statements. You see, it's not just a request to follow me, like, hey, follow me to your table. Hey, follow that car. It's not like that. It's an invitation to accompany me. To go with me, to experience this thing with me, to take part with me, to be a part of this also. I am not a musician. I know that shocks most of you, but my wife is a musician. I know a lot about these instruments up here, but I can't play them. But I know this, if a pianist is accompanying a singer, a vocalist, or accompanying another instrumentalist, I know this, in that accompaniment, both of them contribute to the music. Both of them go through all the measures and play all the notes. Both of them participate in it. Both of them are part of making that music sound whole and good. If one of them just randomly stops, it sounds weird. Both of them participate or accompany each other in that. It's a sense of not just going with a person somewhere, hey, follow me down the road, follow me to the store. It's more like this. You're in the same car with that person at the same time with the same air conditioner going, because we live in Texas, and I don't know about you, but all my vehicles, the air conditioners are just always wide open. The same music on the radio, the same feel of the road, the same experiences and sights as you drive down the road. You're not just following somebody, you're going with them and experiencing with them. Or maybe you're a foodie, and this is a better analogy for you. It's not just follow me to your table and have a meal, But it's accompany me to this meal. Sit and eat this meal with me. Smell this meal. See this meal. Taste this meal. Enjoy this with me. I had this thought in between services. It's the difference between going through the drive-thru in Taco Bell or sitting down with, Gordon Ramsay at one of his restaurants where he's explaining to you the process of how that meal got there. And he knows the farmer and he knows the butcher and he knows the sous chef and all of the things that come together to make that meal amazing. And it just keeps coming and getting better and better and better. And you're experiencing that with somebody that really knows about it and appreciates it. You've accompanied them to the meal. You see, when we get right down to it, this is all about something called the gospel. And that is the good news of what Jesus did on the cross. We're invited to accompany him. You see, the gospel takes us from dead in our sins to alive in Christ. We're asked to accompany him. The gospel takes us from God can have nothing to do with us because of our sin to let's be in the closest possible relationship with God that we can be. We're not just called to follow him. You see, it really becomes this more Jesus moment. We've been going through the book of John. We've had this major overlying theme of more Jesus, and that's really what this follow me or akoutheo or accompany me is about. Because of Jesus' work on the cross and his resurrection, we're called to accompany him. That's the beauty of the gospel. No longer looked over, no longer passed over, but invited to be a part of it, invited to accompany him, not because of anything that we did or could ever do, but because of what he did through what God did through Jesus Christ. We're no longer the team that didn't get picked and just doing what life handed us. We've been asked to accompany. So now that you know that follow him or follow me is not just two simple words of a quick phrase that we flippantly throw around, there's much more to that. I would ask you this morning, so what? So what? What are you gonna do about that? Well, maybe your so what response to this sermon looks like this. You are already accompanying him. You're already following him. You already live your life following Christ. Everything in your life has to do with your relationship with Christ. Raising your kids, your marriage, how you act at work, how you drive the car. All of those things all come together, and they are outside proofs of an inside faith that show that you are living in close relationship with the Lord. You spend time in your Bible, not because you feel like you have to, but because you want to. Several sermons ago, I shared with you my thought that this is a love letter given to us by God to help us know him better. And maybe that's you. You're already accompanying him, and you maybe you've done that for years. And my challenge to you, my so what to you would be double down on that. Like now more than ever in a country that's just getting more and more jacked up, they need to see people that are accompanying Jesus, that are taking that stand to follow him and living that life out different from the rest of the world. Maybe your so what looks a little different than that. Maybe your so what is kind of like this. I like Jesus and I'm here and I go to church sometimes I don't really read my Bible that much, but I pray when I need something. And maybe that's your so what. And I've likened that to a sailboat. A sailboat is a boat, it's in the water. But if the sail's not up, if the rudder's not out there, and you're just sort of just floating around wherever the waves take you, you're not really getting the full experience. You're there, you're sailing. You're not really getting the full experience. Accompany me would be like looking at that sailboat like these America's Cup boats. I don't know if you guys have seen any. They're really almost not even boats anymore. They kind of are in the water, but then as they get going, they get up on these hydrofoils and they're above the water. And there's no question. They have a purpose. They have a goal. They have a direction. They are moving. Some of these boats are going like 55 miles an hour powered by the wind. Like there's a purpose. There's a mission to be accomplished. And that's obviously to win the race. compared to just being in the boat, letting the waves rock you around, that America's Cup thing is like the accompany me. Jesus says in other places in Scripture, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Why would you want 5% of life when you can have more than 100%? Why would you be just good enough when you could experience something that's great? And it's the same simple invitation. Follow me, accompany me, come and be in relationship with me. So if that's you today, if you're here, like, I'm glad you're at church. It's time for you to double down, maybe even triple down. I don't even know if triple down is a thing. I just made that up. But it's time for you to go, hey, there's more to this. I don't want to just smell the fried chicken. I want to eat the fried chicken. I use a lot of food analogies, don't I? But you want to be involved in this. You don't want to just pass this by. You don't want to just, you know, float around. And maybe when it's over, cool. Why would you do that when you can really embrace this moment, when you can embrace this more Jesus moment? So maybe your so what is it's time to press in real hard. It's time to read this, not because you feel like you have to, but to realize that this is for you to know more about God. Maybe it's time for you to pray, not just when you need something, but when you're thankful for something. Or when you just feel like, you know, I need somebody to listen to me and nobody's listening right now, but God's gonna listen. Maybe that's your so what. That's how you press into that next level. Maybe your so what is like this. You've never heard any of this before. This sounds a little interesting to you. And you've never understood that follow me when Jesus says that really means like, hey, I'm inviting you in. Hey, I want you to be with me. Hey, I'm choosing you. And maybe you're here today and you're going, you know what? My life's kind of jacked up in some areas. And I've tried to do it my way and I've tried to do it some other ways that I've heard about in the world or whatever, and it is not working. Maybe your so what today looks like following Jesus, accompanying him, believing in here, believing in here and confessing with your mouth that you're asking Jesus to come in and be Lord of your life, to choose you, to be your team captain, for you to be willing, if called, to say, Lord, everything I have is yours. You want my family? Cool. You want my business? Cool. You want my stuff? Cool. You want my attention? Cool. Everything I have is now yours because I've messed it up. And now is the time to go, hey, I'm ready. I need to be accompanying you. You obviously have the plan and I don't. So one of those is your response to this sermon today, this message today. And I would ask you to physically respond in a couple of ways. Maybe in your seat in a minute as the worship team comes forward. Look, they're listening. As the worship team comes forward, they're gonna play a song in a minute. I would ask you to maybe physically respond in one of three ways. You're accompanying him and you've been walking this road for a long time with Christ. Great. Start thinking around and looking around this room and praying because there's folks in here maybe that aren't really they're kind of following him, but they're not really in it. Or maybe there's somebody in here that's never heard this message before and it's time for them to say, hey, I'm all in. I need that more Jesus moment in my life. Maybe you're here and you've sort of just followed and you need to really make a commitment. I would invite you to maybe come to the steps or catch one of the pastors that's gonna be down front and talk with them and just say, hey, I need to double down on this. Maybe you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You've never committed to follow Christ. You've never committed to say, I can't do this on my own. I gotta do this with you, God. Maybe today's the day that you do that. And if you do that, I would love for you to come catch one of the pastors or myself and just say, hey, I need to do this. Help me understand more about this. We would be glad to do it. So I'm gonna pray and then the band is gonna start and the pastors will be down front if you'd like to respond in some form or fashion. As Pastor Steve likes to say, the stairs are always open. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you and we thank you for this chance today. We've worshiped you in song, we've worshiped you through giving, we've worshiped you now in the study of your word. Lord, I ask that you would help us to be clear about what our so what is, what our response needs to be to this message. Lord, for those that have been walking this life accompanying you strongly, I pray that they would continue to do that. For those that need to step it up, today's the day. And for those that have never put their faith and trust in you, maybe today is the day that they say, yeah, I'm in. Let's do this. I'm ready to follow Jesus. So Lord, I pray that you would just make those answers clear, that you would pull on the hearts that need to be pulled on today. Lord, I just thank you for this time together in Christ's name. Amen.